Wow, is Bill Cosby getting out of jail? We'll talk about that in a second. But first, late night Stephen Colbert carrying the freight this week with most of the hosts off. He said the temperature in Portland was so extreme that it melted power cables, shutting down the city streetcars. Passengers were then forced to walk, which I will remind you is only twice as fast as riding a streetcar. The heat has caused roads throughout the Pacific Northwest to buckle and crack. And Colbert said, and of course, the two sweatiest parts of the street are the buckle and the crack. That's a good one. Luckily for these roads, help me be on the way. The Senate reached a deal on the bipartisan infrastructure bill to shore up our nation's crumbling Joe Manchin votes. President Biden promised the bill would make public transportation quicker, safer, and cleaner. Colbert said, you heard that, New York. Joe Biden is going to make the subway safer and cleaner by 2035. He promises to reduce public masturbator emissions by 50%. All right, this Bill Cosby story is pretty new as I record here. Pennsylvania's highest court threw out Bill Cosby's sexual assault conviction, opening the way for his immediate release from prison. I'm sure I'll have more about this tomorrow. Cosby, who's 83 years old, had served more than 2 years of a 3 to 10 year sentence after being found guilty of drugging and violating a woman. As I understand this, when Cosby was arrested in 2015, it was because a DA had newly unsealed evidence, which was Bill Cosby's deposition in a civil lawsuit. The Supreme Court says that the DA was obligated to stand by his predecessor's promise not to charge Cosby. There's no evidence that that promise was put in writing, but Justice David Wecht said Bill Cosby had relied on the former DA's decision not to charge him when the comedian gave him the evidence. Felicia Rashad tweeted, finally, a terrible wrong is being righted. And there's nothing funny here. We'll see what comes of this tomorrow. We'll talk more about it. Let's talk about something fun. Variety's 10 Comics to Watch has come out. This is something that they do every year just for laughs. And they published the list a little early. Here is the list per Variety. Mo Ammer, known for his 2018 Netflix special, Mo Ammer the Vagabond, one of my favorite specials. It's really good. Mo also appears in the Hulu comedy Rami. Great choice. Next year, he'll be in Black Adam with Dwayne Johnson. Next on the list, Quinta Brunson, known for her work on HBO's A Black Lady sketch show. Third up is Ayo Edebiri. She lends her voice to the character of Missy on Netflix's Big Mouth and will be seen in the FX comedy series The Bear. Fourth comedian to watch is Hannah Einbinder. She's starring opposite Jean Smart in Hacks, and that's already been picked up for a second season. She's opened for Chelsea Handler and Reggie Watts, and recently made her debut doing stand-up on Colbert. Fifth up, Josh Johnson, who's the host of the Josh Johnson Show podcast. He just released his comedy and music album, Elusive, and he's on the Comedy Central hour-long special, Trevor Noah Presents Josh Johnson. Sixth up, Chelsea Lin is known for her sketches featuring her alter ego, Trailer Trash Tammy. Great choice at number seven, Natalie Palamides. Her Netflix special, Nate's a One-Man Show, was brilliant. I can never remember my own list. Did I have that number one last year? Number two? It was definitely top two, definitely top three. I'm old. My brain gets fuzzy. But Natalie Nate is amazing. You should watch that. Good choice there. What am I up to? Eight? I told you I can't remember anything. Matt Rogers is a series regular on Showtime's I Love This For You. Number nine is Benito Skinner. The writer-performer has amassed a following on social media for his skits and characters. And he was recently on HBO Max's Search Party. And number 10 is Country Wayne, Country with a K, a.k.a. Wayne Collie, Collie with a C. The comedian has gained a loyal following on social media and is in the process of developing a scripted series based on them. That's a great list. From Deadline, HBO Max has greenlit the Swedish original comedy Lust. Lust is an 8-part series billed as an outrageous and painfully honest comedy about four middle-aged women in Stockholm struggling to keep their libidos alive in a sexually frustrating world. Annette, Nadia, Ellen, and Martina have all been friends since school when they find out that Annette is conducting a government survey dubiously dubbed Make Sweden Sexy Again. They are intrigued. Is good sex or the lack thereof impacting the health of Swedish women over 40? You will have to watch Lust to find out. The not very popular New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio cracked a joke. This from Fox News. Mayor de Blasio cannot run for re-election because of term limits. He said he may consider a second act in comedy. He was at the announcement for the return of the New York Comedy Festival. Talk about that in a second. Mayor de Blasio said, I just want to volunteer. I have an incredible new act where I just eat food live. It's kind of like modern art and comedy together. Will you give me an audition? I think I figured out my next act. Get it? Get it? That was funny, wasn't it? And nobody laughed except Caroline Hirsch, who runs Caroline's. Apparently, Mayor de Blasio has been made fun of in the past, including when he ate pizza to break down how ranked choice voting works. On a separate occasion, Bill de Blasio ate a Shake Shack meal to promote the company's French fries giveaway for people who get vaccinated. So I guess that's what his food bit is about. Ugh. Anyway, the New York Comedy Festival, they haven't announced anybody actually performing at it yet. This is usually in October, but they say it will feature more than 150 shows. I'll come back to that. And more than 200 comedians from around the world, podcast stars, and late night hosts. The lineup will be announced in August. A key focus of this year's festival is to shine a light on small venues that have been hit the hardest. Now, 200 performers sounds like a lot to me. I have worked with the New York Comedy Festival in the past. They've been nothing but good to me. Caroline's been nothing but good to me. Greg Charles, who's the booker over Caroline's, nothing but good to me. But as a New Yorker, I find that the New York Comedy Festival is not as visible as you would think. Like, when you're in Montreal, you know that Just for Laughs is happening. And I would say the same is true of other comedy festivals. When they used to have JFL Chicago, I felt like that was visible. New York, it's just too big. It gets lost. Like, yeah, sure, if, I don't know, Jerry Seinfeld plays Carnegie Hall, that gets noticed. But, you know, go see, I don't know, up-and-coming comics at Chuckle Hut. It doesn't get noticed. The city's too big. 200 comics in a four-day festival? I mean, I guess if they use every venue and there's three shows a night, I guess that math works. But it just doesn't have the visibility the other comedy festivals have. You would think it would, it being New York, and it's Caroline's, and Comedy Central's usually involved, and, you know, it's a good festival, but I don't know, it just never cuts through. Here's a heck of a review from the AV Club. They ask, is it possible to create a political satire with no discernible political point of view? Netflix's new animated feature, America, the Motion Picture, is just dumb enough and just loud enough to try and find out. Yikes, that sounds horrible. The premise is, it's 1776, on the eve of the Revolution, for those of you who are not American history majors. But in a version of soon-to-be America cobbled together from a drunk college student's muddled memories of elementary school history, thus we have a hard-partying George Washington and Abraham Lincoln catching a show together at Ford's Theater, and Thomas Edison, Geronimo, and the fictional John Henry teaming up to fight the Redcoats. That sounds terrible. The hodgepodge nature of its setting allows America to deploy the occasional delightful sign gag. Would be lying if we said the John Wilkes merch booth didn't extract a laugh, which unfortunately have to share air with the million or so other gags being constantly hurled at the screen. Generic dumb guy jokes, ironic racism jokes, meta jokes about the film's own production values, and more crowd America's comedy atmosphere. At least Andy Samberg is in this thing. He plays Benedict Arnold. This sounds terrible. Try checking out. No, it's July 4th weekend. I'm not going to check that out. Billy Connolly will be looking back on his illustrious 50-year career in a new TV series. It will premiere on Gold later this year. If you're in the UK, you're like, yeah, Gold, everybody gets that. If you're in New Jersey like me, you're like, what the hell is Gold? Doesn't matter, because each episode of Billy Connolly Does will focus on a particular topic with work, sex, travel, childhood, parenthood, love, and marriage all set to be explored across the five-part run. As well as offering fresh looks at classic and seldom seen sets from the comic, the series will also see him reflect on how his views have and haven't changed in the time since they were first performed. And from beyond the joke, they say, we don't know how they managed to bag tickets, but a number of comedians saw the England v. Germany football game in the flesh at Wembley Stadium, along with around 45,000 other football fans the other day. Yeah, the Brits are very excited about the, spoilers, defeat of Germany in the football. Beyond the Joke says it wasn't only Prince George, David Beckham, and Ed Sheeran in the crowd. No. Also, Reese James, Rob Beckett, Josh Widdicombe, Lloyd Griffith, and Charlie Baker. They were among the stand-ups at the match. After the match, Rob Beckett tweeted, it ain't coming home. It's already here. Jim Gaffigan is on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert tonight at 11:30 Eastern. That is your comedy news for today. If you like what I do, you can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. Oh, I forgot. The George Lopez versus Jim Gaffigan thing didn't get a lot of responses, but Joe Stecci said, if pulled pork is better than tacos and Gaffigan is better than Lopez, then of course the pulled pork would be better. Boat Hausman said, George Lopez is a, and he wrote a nasty word there. I can't say that word, Boat Hausman. And the other one used to be funny. So who are you picking? I guess you would pick the one that used to be funny over the not nice word. So let's call it 2-0 for Jim Gaffigan pulled pork sandwiches. Jump on the Instagram at Daily Comedy News and let me know if you'd rather have George Lopez tacos or a Jim Gaffigan pulled pork sandwich. And I'll see you tomorrow. Did I tell you to follow the show? You know to follow. You're already listening. You're like 10 minutes in. You're like, I know how to get the show, Johnny Mac. I already follow you on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. I follow you in three places. Stop bothering me. All right, I'll stop.